兄姐妹、朋友们平安。Brothers, sisters, friends, be peace with you.
我看一下，下面有不少的弟兄姐妹经历过中国大陆1970、80，甚至说早一点的60年代。
So I see today, many brothers and sisters sitting here probably experienced the 60s, 70s, and 80s in mainland China.
那在那个年代，大家见面了以后，互相打招呼怎么讲？讲什么呀？吃了吗？
So back then, when people really greeted each other, they will start with "Have you eaten already?"
因为那个年代，每一家人所面对的主要是温饱问题。
So around that time, for each family, they're really facing clothing and food issues.
每个做父母的每天思想的主要问题就是我们家所有人的穿衣吃饭。
And the parents probably all think about what the kid, they're going to wear and what they're going to eat.
那现在大家在大陆这个年代见面以后怎么打招呼？是不是和这边差不多的？一见面，要么是嗨，要么是你好吗？
So nowadays, in mainland China, it's probably just like here. When people see each other, they'll greet each other with hi or how are you doing?
最新来的学生还有访问学者，大陆现在见面怎么问呀？
So for the new visiting scholars, can you tell us how the mainland greet each other now?
那我们现在在我们的学校或者工作地点的时候，或者见到朋友的时候，可能就是嗨，你好吗？对方会说我很好。
So probably now at our workplaces, when we see each other, we'll say, "Hey, how are you?" And often got a response, "I'm fine."
如果你看到对方说我很好，是不是你觉得你会再追问一句哇？有什么事情发生吗？
So if someone really replies that, I'm fine, you probably will follow up with a question. Something going on here?
有时候你会听到说，我说过了，我很好，就说明什么问题啊？一定是不好。
Sometimes they will say, "Oh, yeah, I just said I'm fine." So probably just showing it's not fine at all.
所以你看我很好，它的含义是什么？
You can see here, I'm fine, the meanings of it.
就要倒下了。I 是感觉没保障。A 是那个你那不感觉欠佳。空空如也。
So that's the sort of meaning here, I'm fine.
我上周到加州的一个神学院进修了一门秘籍课，是现代教牧辅导学。
So last week I attended one very intensive course in California.
那谈到现代教牧辅导模式。
So the topic is really about modern pastoral counseling model.
那课堂的老师呢，发给我们每一个人有一个叫心力压力快速或者叫简易的测试表。
So teacher passed us a stress test.
他这上面将我们学习、工作以及家庭生活中可能发生的事情呢，罗列出来了一页纸。
So on that sheet, list the possible events could happen in everyone's life.
那它是根据每一件事情发生的时候，对我们心理压力程度的高低或者大小呢，排列出来每一件事情后面用一个分数来列举，你比如说最大的压力是100分，最小的压力呢，就是轻微的违法是放在11分，这样依次罗列出来。
So for all the possible events, there's a corresponding number showing its impact, possible impact on our life. The number range from 11 to 100, and the 11 is the least.And the 100 is the most impact.
那它测试的方法呢，就是对照你回想一下，在过去的12个月中，在你身上发生的事情，然后呢，每一项事情你就打勾。
So just check off the things happened to you in the past 12 months.
然后将所有打勾的这个数字加起来
and add those numbers together，
会得出四组的判断结果。
And there are about four categories of results。
如果指数在150以下呢，说明在过去一年中，你的心理压力的状况呢，属于正常的范围。
So if the number adds up below 150, means you're doing pretty good。
那当这个指数在151到200之间的时候，它是一个橘色的提醒。
So between 151 to 200 is a orange warning。
它提醒你的心理生理状况可能有35%的几率会出现问题。
So there's about a 35% possibility that your mind and physical stress。
如果指数在201到300之间属于黄牌警告，就说明你的心理生理状况有50%的几率可能会出现问题。
So between 201 to 300 is a yellow warning, means you have 50% chance your physical and mental health may go wrong.
那大家可能能想到，如果你的心理压力指数超过300的话，也就是红色的严重警告。
So if you're above 300, that will be the red warning.
就说明在这个时候，你的心理生理状况出问题的百分率达到80%以上。
So it's talking about 80% chance, you know, your health may go wrong.
那我们每一个参与的牧师测试完了以后，大家想知道我的压力指标是多少？
So, do you want to know our pastor Yang's score?
我测试完了以后，没有想到，在2014年过去的12个月中，我的心理压力指数接近300。
In the past 4 months, his score is almost near 300.
50%出问题的几率。
50% chance my health may go wrong.
那大家可能更想不到，2013年整个一年，我的心理压力指数远远超过了300。
So in the year 2013, and my score was way above 300.
感谢神的带领和保守。
So really pray for God's guidance and protection.
那今天我还能好好的站在这里和大家分享神的话语，我相信。这里边是在座的，还有那些其他地方的许许多多的弟兄姐妹们，为我带祷，对我的关心、关怀和帮助，使我能够走过来。
So I believe today stand here and you know give you the sermon, really because of the intercession of brothers and sisters and their care here and elsewhere.
所以弟兄姐妹们。在我们的生命跨入2015年这个新年的时候，我再次邀请大家，如果可能的话，在我们的一周的7天时间里，除了今天，我们把时间拿出来交给神以外，我邀请大家，礼拜三晚上或者礼拜四晚上来参加我们教会或者校园的晚上的祷告。
So in this new year, 2015, I sincerely invite us, besides on Sunday, come here to join for the worship, and also come here, either attend the Wednesday's prayer meeting or Thursday prayer meeting on Northern Campus.
我相信是现在的参加我们教会这两个晚上祷告会的弟兄姐妹们，都有非常多的享受。
I'm sure for brothers and sisters who have been attending those prayer meetings really have a lot to share and really enjoyable.
因为作为基督的信徒，我们聚在一起祷告的时候，你不可想象，那个力量是不可估量的。
So as disciples of our Lord Jesus Christ, the power of prayer is immeasurable.
因为我们聚在一起祷告，这是神所喜悦的。
And we pray together is pleasing to God.
它的功效是大的。
It's powerful and effective.
来吧， 弟兄姐妹们，我们一起祷告。
So come and join us and we pray together.
今天我们将一起学习和思想旧约圣经路德记一章一到五节这段经文。
Today we're going to learn and ponder upon Luke chapter 1 from verse 1 to 5 in the Old Testament.
如果神许可的话，我盼望用一本书呢作为蓝本。
If God permits, I hope to use a book as a reference.
这本书呢，书名是《路德的故事》，女性生命中的十二个关键时刻。
So the book title is The Story of Ruth, 12 Moments in Every Woman's Life.
如果神许可，我将会和大家一起呢做一个系列的分享。
So if God permits, I'd like to have a series of sermons and to share with you.
那这本书是有一位姐妹，她是美国宾州当代灵性生活资源研究中心的一个行政总裁，叫卓迪娜姐妹。
So the book was authored by a sister, and her name is Joan Chichester, and she is the CEO of the Resource and Research Center for Contemporary Spirituality.
她撰写了文字部分，但是她邀请了一位在加州的一位弟兄。就是美国宗教艺术家叫史维生，专门为这本书创作了十二幅别具特色的插图。
And he also invited a religious artist, his name is John Swanson, and who actually draw 12 very stylish illustrations in the book, for the book.
我把它 copy 下来以后组成了这一个全幅的画。
So that's John's
work. 那这位姐妹她在书的开头才有这么一段话写道。
So in the beginning of the book, she wrote,
神借着路德记提醒我们，神在某一段时间将我们放在某一个地方都有他的旨意。
So there is a will that God in certain time put us in certain place.
神要提醒我们要认识到生命在某些时候会凝固住。
So God really reminds us that life can stop.
会停下来让人做出反省。
So we can pause and reflect upon.
那生命的内容和意义实在是由一连串决定性的时刻结合而成的。
So the life, its substance and meanings is really made up.Of a series of defining moments.
那这些决定性的时刻呢，有得到，有失去，有危机，还有一些改变，还有一些挣扎，还有一些转变等等。
So the moments of loss, risk, change, struggling, transformation, etc.
那他就提到说，我们生活中面对每一个时刻时，我们的态度会表现出来我们这个人。
So the attitude we show in every moment really shows who we really are.
我们这个人其实是谁，是什么人，是做什么的？神要我们成为谁，成为什么人？我们在属灵和社会上可以成为谁，成为什么人？三个方面。
So really, you know, who we are, the kind of people we are, what we do, and God really wants us to be who God wants to be, and the kind of people God wants to be, and the spiritual person or the social person.
是什么人，是做什么的，成为谁，成为什么人，在属灵和社会上可以成为谁。成为什么人？那今天让我们就带着这个三个问题来思想我们的主题。
So to repeat, those are the three questions we'll ponder upon and think about our today's sermon.
那我想问弟兄姐妹和朋友们，在我们自己的生命中，或者我们说从基督的信仰这个角度。来检视我们人生，检视每一个家庭。
So I want to ask you a question, you know, from a Christian point of view to look at our family.
就是我们今天的家庭结构有几种情况， 我相信在座的基本上都包括在内。
So we look at the family structures of a family. So how many scenarios we're talking about here?
咱们就从夫妻两个人来讲，两个人都是基督徒，而结合成一个家庭，这是一种。
So if we look at a couple, and you know, they're a family made of a couple, both of them are Christians.
两个人都不是基督徒，已经结合在一起，两个人同时受洗，成为一个基督徒的家庭，这是第二种。
Two non-Christian couple, they you know they baptize together, and they become a Christian.
夫妻二人都不是基督徒，其中有一个人接受洗礼，成为了一个基督徒。
So another scenario will be one of the couple is Christian, one of them is not.
可能还有一个是，一个非基督徒和一个基督徒结合成为一个家庭。我知道这是礼拜三咱们有一个组在讨论这个事情。
So there are also family have one Christian and one non-Christian. They made the family.
当然我这是从信耶稣基督这个角度来分析我们的家庭结构。
So I was really talking about family from the angle of a Christian family.
因为在刚才我们列举的这四种或者叫三种家庭结构中，因为最少一个人信主，那这个家庭呢就会朝着基督化家庭这个模式迈进。
So in the above three or four structures, and because one believed, and his family has a chance to be a Christianized.
我相信在成为基督化家庭，这是一个过程，是一个一天一天迈进的一个过程。
So this is really a process, and you're taking a day in and day out.
那在这个过程中最具挑战的一个关系是什么？大家想到没有
？So the most challenging relationship in this process, do you know what that is?
最具挑战的夫妻二人之间的关系是什么
？So to make it clear, it's really the couple relationship. What make the couple relationship very challenging?
就是。妻子要顺服丈夫，因为丈夫是妻子的头，是不是
？So I think the most challenging relationship would be that the wives need to be submissive to their husbands.
当有姐妹第一次听到这句话的时候，我说别忘了后边还有一句话：丈夫要爱他的妻子。
So when mom and also it says the husband is his wife's head.And when the sister often first time hear this, and pastor will remind them, there's another half of the truth, which is husband need to love their wives.
那就从圣经要求的我们这个夫妻关系的，或者叫基督化家庭迈进中的这种家庭关系的结构，我们来思想今天的经文。
So just from this the challenge, let's look at the five verses today.
借着路德记一章一到二节，我们来一起思想基督化家庭中当头的责任。
So we need going to look at the responsibility of the head in a Christian family.
路德记一章一到二节，当事实秉证的时候，国中遭遇饥荒，在犹大伯利恒有一个人带着妻子和两个儿子往摩亚地去寄居，这人名叫伊利米勒，他的妻名叫拿俄米。他两个儿子，一个名叫马伦，一个名叫基连，都是犹大伯利恒的以法他人。他们到了摩亚地就住在那里。
Here in the first one to some screen.
那事实秉证的时候，指的什么意思
？When they talk about in these days when the judges rule, what does that mean?
大家熟悉旧约圣经的就知道有一卷书叫《士师记》，那他的意思呢就是。在士师治理以色列的那个日子里。
So if you are familiar with the Old Testament, it really means when the judges govern Israel.
那从旧约年代表中得知，士师时期前后大约有350年的时间。
So if you look at the Old Testament, the chronicle of the Old Testament, and you will know, the judge period lasts about 350 years.
那路德的故事发生在士师的哪一个阶段？
So when did the story of Ruth happen during that period?
了解这个，我们要从路德记里边一个重要人物说起，就是路德后来所嫁给的那个人，以色列人波阿斯。
So to know this, we have to start with a very important figure in Old Testament, and that's Ruth, second husband.
在新约圣经第一卷书马太福音一开始记载主耶稣基督的家谱的时候，有很清楚的描写。
So that person is name is Boaz, and in Matthew chapter 1, they talk about Lord Jesus and genealogy. It's very clear.
你看马太福音1:5-6这样记载说，撒门从拉合是生波阿斯，波阿斯从路德是生俄贝德，俄贝德生耶西，耶西生大卫，大卫从乌利亚的妻子生所罗门。
Yeah, the genealogy is also on the slide.
那根据旧约圣经约书亚记的记载，以色列人出埃及，经历了40年的旷野生活之后，摩西的接班人约书亚得到神的应许，带入领以色列人进入迦南地。
So according to the book of Joshua, and after Exodus, and the Israelites lived in the wilderness for about 40 years, and the successor of Moses, Joshua, got the promise from God and entered to Canaan.
在他们攻克一个最重要的要塞城叫耶利哥之前，派了2个探子前去侦查。那在耶利哥城有一个妓女叫拉合，不单向着2个以色列探子通报了耶利哥城的消息，而且还救了他们2个人的性命。
So before they invade the very critical city, Jericho, and Joshua, really sent two spies scouting the city, and they met one prostitute. Her name is Rahab, and she not only giving them information about the city, but also saved two of their lives.
这个叫拉合的妓女后来就住在了以色列民中间，嫁给了以色列人撒门，生下了儿子波阿斯。
So the Rahab became one of the Israelites dwelt among them and married Boaz, married Solomon, and gave birth to Boaz.
所以由此推算，路德记的故事应该是发生在整个350年士师期间开始的阶段。
So you can tell probably based on the story, and the story of Ruth probably happened in the beginning of the judge era.
那另外一个词儿，国中遭遇饥荒，这个国中指的什么
？So they also talk about the famine in the country. There was a famine.
这个国中实际不单单局限一个国，而是他这个国中的意思是土地。是田地，地广泛的意思。
Yeah, so in Chinese version, talk about the nation. There was a famine, and this is actually really, generally speaking about the land, the field, or described. Means there's very widespread famine among them.
那有一个问题就出来了。犹大地伯利恒遭遇了饥荒。难道摩亚地可以免于饥荒吗
？So there is a question. So if a Bethlehem really affected by the famine, and the Moab had was somehow did not affected at all.
历史历代的圣经学者都在讨论这个问题。
So many Bible scholars throughout time discussed this question.
因为从地理位置上，大家在思想伯利恒遇到饥荒，摩亚地不可能不受影响。
So based on the geography, Moab cannot escape from that famine.
因为这两地基本上都属于相同的地理的地带。
So they're really in the same geographical area.
整个巴勒斯坦地区，他们的气候 实际上他们的东南部呢是两个大沙漠。
Talking about the entire Palestinian area, and in their southeast, there are two deserts,
撒哈拉和阿拉伯沙漠，那个沙漠地
the
带。
Sahara and Arab.
所以他们夏季的时候非常的炎热，没有一滴水，和今天的加州是一样的。
So in
从
summer,
四月份一直到9月末，不落一滴水。
It's very dry heat, just like California, have no single drop of rain.
但它的北部尽头呢有黑门山积雪，中间积雪不化的黑门山，远处呢有西伯利亚，他们的冷空气可以吹过来。
In the north, there's a mountain called Hermon, and they have a glacier on top of the mountain, and further north is Siberia.
所以每年只有从10月到3月的时候是秋雨和春雨的季节。
So every year from October to March is the fall and spring rain seasons.
全年大约有1/3的时间，他们的庄稼的灌溉是靠从他们西边地中海刮过来的海风晚上形成露水来浇灌庄稼。
So in about 2/3 of time during the year, all the crops really rely on the dews formed during the night, by the east wind carried over from the Mediterranean Sea.
所以巴勒斯坦地区，它的雨水冷空气呢，是由西北方向朝着东南方向来过渡的。
So the cold air really coming up from the northwest side all the way down to the area.
那这样来讲呢，犹大伯利恒山地，它们应该是第一阶段的降雨区，摩亚应该是次于它。
So if you look at this, and there Bethlehem is in the first stage rain zone, and Moab is in the second stage of rain zone.
所以犹大地遭遇干旱，没有雨水，摩亚地呢，应该更少。
So if Bethlehem was affected by famine, we can say probably Moab probably even more so.
但是很显然，圣经里边没有记载导致饥荒的原因。
It's very apparent the Bible did not report why this famine happened.
那问题就来了，是自然灾害呢，还是另外有其他的因素？
So we're talking about the natural disasters, or there are some other reasons why this famine happened.
那充满了圣经里边的，我们可以看到许许多多其他的因素。这因素就是神为了让以色列人回转，而向他们施行的一种惩罚的方式。
So throughout the Bible, probably can tell it's one of God's punishment. To cause a repentance of Israel.
那我们来看看以色列人和摩亚人的关系。
So let's look at the relationship between the Moabites and the Israelites.
摩亚位于死海的东偏南一点。
So Moab is on the southeast side of the.
它的南边是以东。
The south is Edom.
东北边是亚门。
And the northeast side is Ammon.
大家了解摩亚和亚门是谁的后代呀、
Do you know who's the descendant of Moabites and Ammonites are?
是罗德的两个女儿和她乱伦所产生的两个后代。
So they were descendants of Rhod. Was children of Rhod and two daughters.
所以往远处追，可能和以色列人血缘关系，但是
So they really sort of blood, they're related to Israelite by blood.
当以色列人进入迦南地之前，摩西有一个宣告，就是律法规定。
So before Israelite entered Canaan, and Moses announced a law.
在申命记23:3-5记载，亚门人或是摩亚人不可入耶和华的会， 因为你们出埃及的时候，他们没有拿食物和水在路上迎接你们，又因他们雇了美索不达米亚的昆多人比尔的儿子巴兰来咒诅你们。然而耶和华你的神不肯听从巴兰，却是那咒诅的言语变成祝福的话，因为耶和华你的神爱你。我们看第六节，你一生一世永不可求他们的平安和他们的利益。哇！
Is there an English version of this? Next slide, is there an English version? So if not, I'm going to read the whole thing one more. Do you have another slide for this? No? So in the Leviticus from 3 to 6, you know, they really talk about the law. It says, no Ammonite nor Moabite or any of their descendants may enter the assembly of the Lord. Not even in the 10th generation, for they did not come to meet you with bread and water on your way when you come out of Egypt. And they hired a Balaam, son of Beor, from Peor and Aram Netharim to pronounce a curse on you. However, the Lord your God would not listen to Balaam, but to turn the curse into a blessing for you, because the Lord your God loves you. Verse 6 and especially our pastor emphasized on. It says, do not seek a treaty of friendship with them as long as you live.
那我们再来从这个图上我们可以看到，伯利恒位于耶路撒冷南边大概有6英里的距离，那从伯利恒出发大概呢50英里到摩亚。
So you can see from this map that Bethlehem is south of Jerusalem, about 6 miles. And if you travel 80 miles, you'll arrive to the Moab, the territory of Moab.
伊利米勒带领一家人往摩亚地寄居，他的这个行动，我们想应该是可以理解的。
So probably it's very understandable by us that Elimelech, you know, moved his family to Moab.
因为从表面看，他为了生活上的需要，为了养活家人而背井离乡。
So on the surface, it's really because of the trying to feed his family, and they left their country.
他是信神的人，所以做一家之头是一件很不容易的事情。
So he's a you know, person believing in God as a head of family, it's a very difficult.
如果这个家里的一切的决定真正交给这个头来做的话，那做出的决定要为此付上代价。
So if we depend on the head to make a decisions for the family, and there are definitely some price, you know, the person will pay.
那和我们今天在座的许多人都一样，因为他是做了一个移民的行动，所以移民本身是一种选择。
So just like many of us here, and they made a decision. He made a decision back then to be an immigrant.
不同的人有不同的原因。
And for different people, there might have different reasons.
我相信我们在座的每一个移民的家庭都有我们家庭的故事。
So I think for all the immigrant families, we all have our own stories.
无论什么原因，那既然我们做了决定，那就要甘愿的承担这个后果。
So it doesn't matter what the reason that we made such decision, we are also willing to take the consequences of such decisions.
那作为基督徒，另外还有一个责任，那这个责任是什么？
So if we are Christian, there's another responsibility. What is it?
就是寻求上帝的旨意，顺从圣灵的引导。
So it's really to seeking the guidance of our God and following the leading of the Holy Spirit.
带领我们这个家庭走向基督化的家庭。
And really leading our own families towards the Christian family.
所以这是一个需要不断的学习经历，而且可能还要付上很重的代价的功课。
So this is really a lesson that requires us constantly learning and experience, and also perhaps pay a price.
那你看到他们这个家庭，我们可以从路德记一章三到五节来思想基督化家庭中失去了头的时刻。
So based on the verse 3 to 5, we can see the moments of losing the head of the Christian family.
路德记一章三到五节，后来拉俄米的丈夫以利米勒死了，剩下妇人和他两个儿子。这两个儿子娶了摩押女女子为妻，一个名叫俄尔巴，一个名叫路德，在那里住了约有十年。马伦和基连二人也死了，剩下拉俄米没有丈夫，也没有儿子。
Here's the English version.
以利米勒带领全家移民，想要解决饥荒问题。
The Elimelech led the family migrate, trying to solve this famine issue.
但是他万万没有料到，他竟客死在异乡摩亚地。
He probably did not expect he would die in the land of Moab.
而且两个儿子分别娶的在历史上与以色列有血缘关系，但已经不属于以色列人的外邦的摩押女子为妻。
And also, both of his sons married someone bloodly related to Israelites, but they're not part of the Israelites anymore.
两个儿子婚后十年竟然没有留下一个儿女。竟也双双撒手人间。
So after marriage for 10 years, there are no descendants were left, and they both of the sons were also dead.
这个家庭中剩下了三个失去丈夫的女人。
And for the family, there are only three widows left.
拿俄米、路德、俄尔巴这三个女人如何面对、如何应付失去了三个头的这个时刻？
So for the three widows, Naomi, Ruth, and Oprah, how are they going to face, they lost the heads of the family.
在旧约那个时代，女人如果失去了她生命中的男人的话，伴随而来的就是她的生命中她的社会地位和经济保障都要失去。
So in the time of Old Testament, when women lost their husband, and accompanying condition would be their losing social status and economic protections.
那写路德记的故事，这个作者，这个姐妹，她就回忆说，她父亲去世的时候，她的母亲21岁。
So the book's author Joan, she mentioned about her own family.When her dad passed away, and her mom, talk about her mom.
那她的母亲没有受过任何的赖以为生的训练。
Her mom never went through any sort of formal training to be independent.
所以那个时候，她母亲唯一的出路就是再嫁人。结果呢，30年之后，她的继父又去世。
So the only option left for her was to remarry.But after 30 years, her stepdad also passed away.
他回忆说，他母亲的状况没有大的改观。他说，因为那个时候，在这个国家，是以男人为主导的社会。
So she recalled her mom's condition didn't really improve at all because back then, this country, and this was really a man-dominated society.
那我们今天生活的这个国家的情况怎么样
？So how about today about America?
根据1980年代末的一个研究显示
，So according to a statistic done in around 80s,
当时超过一半的国民的生产力来自于女性。
So back then about 50% of GDP.Was created by women.
那这个生产了一半的国民的生产力的这些女性中间，80%以上是受雇于工资低下、没有福利的服务行业。
So 80% of this employed women created 50% of the whole nation's GDP. They were really hired by they were working with a low salary and no benefits.
那当时的研究还显示，他们说，假如女性所得的薪水待遇与男性一样的话，美国全国的贫困率将会大幅减掉一半。
So they also hypothesized if the women was paid at the same rate as men, and the poverty rate in this country will be cut in half.
当然，直到今天为止，在那个研究统计数字里边，在美国的亚裔的妇女的收入是，在那个地方。
So even back then in the 80s, the Asian ladies, so
在这
they
里边要提
were
醒大家，就是
way
当我
above.
们能够认定、能够接受，在我们生活中来的失去的那一个时刻的时候，那个失去，当我们接受的时候，那个失去就能够变为我们生活中的一件瑰宝。
So what really saying here is, if we accept what we accept the loss, and the loss itself will become a treasure to our lives.
我不知道大家能不能同意这个说法，因为在路德记的记载里面，我们看到拿俄米他做到了。
So I'm not sure whether you agree with this, in my opinion here or not, but if you look at the Bible, Naomi actually did it.
在我们的生活历程的长河中，可能从前曾经是我们生命中的某一个人、某一个生活方式。
So, if we look at our life in the past, it probably will be a person or a certain style of living.
那些塑造了我们的身份，给我们的生活添光、添上色彩，来安慰、支持我们的那个人、那个状态，突然间没有。
Style or a person who actually sort of create our own identity and give us a very colorful life, and suddenly, it's not there anymore.
我们已经习惯了的那个人，我们已经习惯了的那个生活方式，突然间就像时间在空中凝固了一样。
So the person or the style just sort of condense it in the air.
但是圣经告诉我们，失去绝不是一条容易走的路，但是当我们能够勇敢的转身的时候，失去或许是一种恩惠。
So the Bible really tells us, the loss is not an easy way, but when we are brave enough to turn around, and the loss can be a blessing.
圣经没有说你失去的时候不让你痛苦，我们要放开我们的情感，把这个痛苦发泄出去。
So the Bible didn't say, when you face some loss, you shouldn't be sad.
然后呢，像拿俄米一样，把我们这个失去做一个生命的重新的评估。
You should really, express yourself, but do as Naomi did, and reassess your life.
后面我们会看到，拿俄米对他自己的生命做了重新评估之后，他做了一个重要的决定，就是返回伯利恒。
They look at the story later in the same book, and Naomi reassessed her life and made a very important decision. They went back to Bethlehem.
那现在我们接着前面刚才提到那个讨论，说现在呢有两个方面辩论的，有双方，你会站在哪一方？我们来看一看，以利米勒的死和他移居外邦摩押地有没有关系？
So we can have a debate here about Elimelech's migration to Moab, whether his death related to this migration or not.
正方认为是没有关系。
So one side believe they have no relationship at all.
他理由之一说，以色列族长时期有不少因饥荒迁移外邦的先例，且没有被视为不当。
So, if you look at the Bible in the Patriarch period of time, there are many famines mentioned, and many people migrated out from the famine infected area and never seen as inappropriate.
理由之二是说，从实际而言呢，面对 饥荒自然要到其他地方寻找粮食嘛，以解决现实需要。
So if practical is speaking number two, reason number two, practically speaking, you know, if you have famine, of course you want to look elsewhere for food.
那反方认为是因果关系。
And the other side really think is cause and effect relationship between the death and the migration.
因为他是族长时期，那个时候人们过的是游牧的生活，去其他地方游牧寻找新的草地，那是必须的。
The number one reason to talk about patriarch time, the fact that people they live as a sort of nomadic lifestyle. They really roaming from one area to another area to find more food.
他说今天的情况不一样了，族长时期是游牧，现在的神已经把那个迦南美地赐给你们，让你们定居了。
And around the judge time, the situation changed. So the Lord already promised this beautiful land, Canaan, and gave it as a gift to Israelites.
另外，从历代几个族长，从亚伯拉罕到以撒，他们因为饥荒去外边寻找粮食，都把自己的太太做成妹妹说谎，都险些出现问题。
So you look at the period of time, you know, you look at Abraham and Jacob, and they all lied that their wives were their sisters.
以色列人在埃及地几百年做奴隶的原因是什么？就是因为雅各到了埃及寻找吃的东西嘛。
So, you know, for the slavery of Israel in Egypt was all because of Jacob.
所以利米勒在遭遇饥荒的时候，放弃了神所赐给他的应许之地，想借迁居来解决饥荒问题，结果自己客死他乡。儿子双双丧亡。
So if you look at the case of Elimelech, he actually gave up the Lord's promised land and went to Moab, and then he died there.
另外还有一个更重要的知识，就是犹太他们的传统认为，在他的有一个塔勒木里边记载的，说伊利米勒和他两个儿子是当时犹大支派的重要人物。
So if you look at the traditions of the Jews, there was one book, I think, called Talmud, recording this event.
是百姓的领袖。
So both of Elimelech and his sons were very like bigwigs to Israeli background.
是个大富户，他富到什么程度，大家可能想象不出来。
So it's a rich people, rich family, and the leader of their tribe.And they're really rich, probably beyond the imagination.
犹太的传统记载说，在当地居民遇到饥荒的时候，以利米勒原本有能力为百姓提供10年的粮食。
So based on the book recorded, and his families, they actually stored enough food for.
因为他担心人们前来给他借粮食，所以。带着大批的粮食到了他乡。
So he actually had a story not to for his people for about 10 years because he worried about people going to borrow food from him. He actually carried a lot of his belongings and food and moved to Moab.
所以他们的死亡是神的惩罚。
So based on the book, and their death was a punishment from God.
当然，今天大多数的圣经学者。在圣经里边找不到这样的支持。
So of course, if you look at the Bible, many Bible scholars couldn't find such evidence to support that.
但是圣经一再的告诫说，以色列人所信奉的神是掌管大自然的主宰。
But the Bible did indicate, you know, the God in Israelites believe is the God who governs the whole universe.
你看利未记26:2-4，你们要守我的安息日，敬我的圣所，我是耶和华。你们若遵行我的律例，谨守我的诫命，我就给你们降下时雨，叫地出土产，田野的果木结果子。
So here talk about Leviticus 26 in the English verse on the slide.
列王记上18:2，以利亚说。 是以色列遭灾的不是我，乃是你和你父家，因为你们离弃耶和华的诫命，去随从巴力。
There's also another evidence showing.
路德记的故事虽然没有直接指明以色列人因犯罪而招致灾祸，但是神的话语毕竟在那里放着。
So although the Bible did not directly related the famine was caused by God, but the God's word was there in the Bible.
无论如何，现在我如果要问说以利米勒他这个一家之头做得怎么样，大家怎么回答？
If I ask a question, how Elimelech being the head of his family?
他带着妻儿离开伯利恒，为他们在灾难中寻找出路，我们不能说他不爱家人。
So he really lead his family and leading trying to overcome the famine. We cannot say he didn't love his family.
但是他爱的结果是把他们放到了一个更大的灾难和苦难之中。
But his love actually led them into an even bigger and deeper trouble.
所以，如果要论以利米勒的责任的话，或者可以说，不在于他因饥荒而迁移，或者因饥荒而移民的行为。
So if we look talk about the responsibility of Elimelech, and it's not really about his immigration leading his family away from the famine,
而是要寻找他是否愿意面对造成饥荒的原因。
But the responsibility is really to seek what is the real reason caused the famine.
他是否愿意反省和正视造成饥荒的这个责任，因为他是信神的人。
Whether he can be really reflect and face reason caused the famine because he's a man of God and depending on God.
就像我们今天的生活一样。
Just like us today.
我们表面上看似乎神没有介入到我们的生活，没有说今天神给我们中间某一个人亲自指示，没有神没有兴起在我们中间一个先知说你去告诉他们怎么样，耶稣也没有在我们中间让我们的肉眼能看见。
So on the surface it seemed like God does not intervene with our life at all. He didn't send our Jesus or not sending It seems like they're not happening enough here.
但是许多时候面临，不论是我们的家庭，我们的生活中出现了是好事、难事或者坏事，我们只能用有的时候说：“哇，神了，哇，不可思议！”而且我们周边有许许多多的云彩在飘着，来见证我们所信的那个神，在我们中间所行事的能力。
So when either a strange bad or good things happen.And sometimes we only can describe this as incredible. In Chinese, we usually say, probably God did it. And we know there are many clouds surrounding us, really testify for this leading God.
所以路德记正是借着以拿俄米为代表的这个女性，向我们展示了，在他们生活的那个时代，神表面上没有介入普通人的生命的经历的所有的事件。
So in the story of Ruth, really God reminding us the story of Naomi, and showing that God actually intervened with the common people's life.
但是在这个故事中，人们所清楚的深信，神介入了他们的生活。
In the story, all the bigger they really deeply believe God actually is part of their life.
这就是让我们今天生活的人能够看到一个活灵活现的栩栩如生的一个生活。
So it's really telling us, you know, this love, vivid story that we have such a God in our life.
我们一起祷告。
So let's pray together.
恩主慈爱的阿爸父，我们感谢你赐给我们宝贵的话语。
So we pray that our loving Heavenly Father give us this precious word.
让我们因着主您的话语，我们能够清楚我们生命的目的。
So because of your word, we really make sure we know that the purpose of our lives.
也是因着主您的话语，让我们真真切切地感受到主，您是主宰这个世界的主。
Because of your word, we can really lively experience that you are the one who governs the universe.
愿主您借着主您的话语，引导我们一生，带领我们一生。
So I ask you to lead us and guide us through our lives by your word.
使我们的生命活得有价值，使我们能够成为他人的帮助。
So we can live in a worthy life and be the help of other people.
这样的感恩祷告，奉靠主耶稣基督的名求。
This prayer and thanksgiving be, really according to our God, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.